Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Yo, 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 yo,
good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Friday.
This
how
is
we
nasty.
Sounding out there, first and foremost? How we sounding out there?
Not too good. Mad delay.
Mad delay? I don't feel a delay on my end.
I don't hear a delay at all. Maybe it's just you.
I think I was hesitating a little bit because I'm at the house and I didn't want to yell too loud. And you know, even though I'm in the basement, I don't know. It might resonate through the house. I'm not sure.
I'm sure I woke up everybody in the crib today. I'm sure.
I think that we need to let the people know. This is a test.
Yes.
You know, coronavirus has us all in the same boat. We're all unemployed and on house arrest. And being that we're on house arrest right now, we're broadcasting from home.
That's right.
Our various individual homes.
Yes, I'm broadcasting from my crib in my office right now. So I'm sure with me screaming and yelling, I'm sure I woke up the whole house. But this is what we
got to
do.
Daddy voice on. You got your daddy, the kids asleep voice on right now.
I do. Because I really don't want, two kids are grown or adults. But three of them I don't want in here until about 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's very different.
Well, I'm
from
still
DJ
in the studio. I'm in the studio in Detroit. So I haven't moved to my home yet.
But so you
I can't wait to see how you guys
fine.
Handle this.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you sound fine. You can perform properly.
Yes, Charlamagne and I
feel
we
still
want our kids
computers all around me.
Yes.
Well, and then even when I go home, I guess I can yell and scream.
Yeah, you can yell and scream. Charlamagne and I can't. Well, Andrew Yang will be joining us this morning.
Let me tell you something. Andrew Yang is a former presidential candidate. He's now a CNN commentator. And Andrew Yang is announcing something really big today. You know, it's a lot of problems going on, but not too many people have solutions. Andrew Yang, I think, is presenting a solution to some of the problems that are going on right now due to this goddamn coronavirus. Matter of fact, let me not curse the coronavirus.
I know. I remember him saying that his phone was ringing off the hook because everybody's talking about these stimulus packages and giving out checks, and that was universal basic income he was talking about.
Yeah, they stole his style. I mean, he took it from Martin Luther King Jr., and then, you know, now they're taking his style to stimulate the economy. So, yeah, he's got a lot to talk about this morning.
All right, so we'll get him next hour. Then we got front page.
Whoa.
All right, you just put
the auto-tune
on.
Does that sound crazy to anybody but me?
And
oh, my goodness.
Got the auto-tune on.
He's an Autobot.
And you got the auto-tune
Listen.
On.
Now
you
Envy, just
like
relax.
Creature. You sound like one
All
of the
right.
Eagles.
We are going to, since we're talking about Andrew Yang, let's talk about the coronavirus stimulus bill that they have unveiled. Senate Republicans have unveiled this massive stimulus bill, and they're saying this could actually help with the economy.
All right. Listen, it's the world's most dangerous morning show on a Friday. We are broadcasting from home. Envy got his auto tune on, but I think we'll be okay. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Yes. Charlamagne sounds crazy to me now.
Now Charlamagne sounds crazy.
Goodness gracious. Yes, you sound like Future Charlamagne. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne the God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news.
All right, you ready?
Front page news. Yep, let's go.
Senate Republicans have unveiled a stimulus bill that's going to give $1,200 tax rebates, but that's for people who earned $75,000 or less last year. Now, as your salary goes up, the rebate gradually decreases, and by the time you get to $99,000, you get nothing. So if you made $99,000 or more last year, you won't get any of this $1,200 check. But if you are a lower income person, they said that you'll get less as well. A minimum rebate of $600 if your income was at least $2,500. They also proposed a $500 per child rebate.
Okay.
All right. Also in breaking.
Check to check. That don't mean you're not living check to check just because you make $90,000 a year. Because you still got taxes. This is what, $40,000, $45,000 a year you're making?
I mean, I guess it's a start.
Well,
though.
You got 90 days. You know, I guess there's prioritizing certain people.
Right.
If y'all all right, give now money, California. Give out money to everybody except for the 1%.
California, the state has ordered their nearly 40 million residents to stay home. The California Governor Gavin Newsom is the first statewide mandatory restriction that has been issued in the United States. So far in California, 19 people have died and more than 900 people have tested positive for coronavirus. So the restrictions are in place until further notice. Now, what does this mean? Well, under this order, such things like going to the gas station, pharmacies, grocery stores, farmers markets, food banks, convenience stores, restaurants that deliver, they are all going to remain open. So will the bank. So will local government offices that provide services and law enforcement agencies. But things that they consider non-essential, like dine-in restaurants, bars, gyms, convention centers, things like that are going to be shut down. Also in L.A., two Lakers players have tested positive for coronavirus as well. So the Celtics have also said one of their players tested positive for coronavirus. Yeah, it's really...
They need to shut it down. I like what L.A. is doing. Shut it down.
Yes, just make it a whole government
mandate. The Philadelphia 76ers...
Mm-hmm. Make it a whole government mandate across all 50 states. Let's just go ahead and do this so we can get it over with. America,
absolutely.
Stop being spoiled, okay, yes, and thinking that you're going to be under martial law, and let's actually do something to flatten this goddamn curve. You know, if Donald Trump wasn't president, if it was a president that people actually trusted, nobody would have a problem with a government mandate, a lockdown for 2 weeks. But being that he's a freaking... a future dictator, tyrant, nobody wants to be under, you know, a government mandate, a lockdown from him, because it feels like martial law.
Yeah.
All right. Now, CNN had a town hall yesterday, if you guys had a chance to watch that. And amongst the things, they had a lot of experts on there, doctors. They had Dr. Anthony Fauci, who's the director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And he said there's a good chance that you can't become reinfected once you've had coronavirus. So
that sucks.
He said, I've been dealing with viruses my entire professional life, and the viruses in which you get infected and you get a complete response where you clear the virus, you can't be protected. The duration of the protection varies. It might be a lifetime. If you get infected with measles, it's highly likely that you are protected for life from re-exposure. Highly likely, maybe a bit less depending on how long you live. Other viruses we have less experience with, but he said from his experience, dealing with these viruses is a good chance you can't get reinfected once you do have it.
Oh,
all right,
you
also
can't.
Traveling. No, you cannot. Cannot.
You cannot.
Oh, okay, okay. Gotcha.
Well, you said it sucked.
Great.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's great. I thought she said you can't. You can.
U.S. domestic air travel also sees a virtual shutdown. There's more restrictions that are being discussed. So TSA officers are also testing positive for coronavirus as a public fare. And so there is less of a demand for air travel naturally right now. And they said there might be a domestic travel ban at some point coming soon. That's under consideration right now by the Trump administration. They're talking about grounding many or all domestic flights. And that hasn't happened yet. But as you know, internationally, a lot of those flights have been grounded as well.
Yeah, where are y'all going anyway?
We'll give you some more updates.
No
way. Ban all the flights. Do that.
Listen, shout out to L'Oreal, who actually, she's in Atlanta. She flew to New Jersey to get her hair done and flew back. I was
see,
why
that's what I'm talking about.
That's
exactly
crazy.
What if she was a Corona carrier?
$30.
Yeah, that makes
all
no
to get
sense.
Some fresh bundles.
You gotta stay put.
All to get some fresh bundles. Your hair costs more than your plane ticket. Tell her to sit her ass down somewhere.
And I love what New York is doing when they shut down the mortgages, not allowing people to pay mortgages in 3 months. New York governor, he said that yesterday, correct?
Yes, he said that they are going to get, and Bank of America is doing the same as well. If you have a mortgage with Bank of America, then you will have a break for now.
I think it's right that all mortgage companies should do this until we get out of this. People need help. Like, people are not working. People are suffering. They're scared. I got a call yesterday from an employee that was scared and mad. Unemployment line wasn't answering the phone. The website was shut down. You got to help people. Shut down for 3 months. You got to help people, man. All right.
Yeah.
Get it.
I told my tenants I actually gave them a break for this next month. And I said, you don't have to pay at all.
That's great. Also, we got to stop with the cute nicknames. No more Rona. Call him by his full name. The coronavirus. Okay?
My goodness.
You give cute nicknames to people you like. Okay?
All right. Front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. Let's just talk. Let's vent. 800-585-1051. If you don't know, if you just joined us, we're broadcasting from our crib. So if it sounds a little choppy, a little iffy, this is a test. I'm in my crib. Charlamagne's in his crib. Angela Yee still in Detroit.
I'm in the studio.
We're broadcasting.
It's nothing. Okay?
Yeah, try to get
it's
it right.
It's either this or nothing, goddammit. So y'all better enjoy what we doing, okay?
Stop cursing. You're at home, bro. 800-585-1051.
I'm scared. I might
only curse in the studio.
I feel too comfortable right now.
All right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Terrence.
What's up, Terrence? Get it off your chest, bro.
I want to just spread some good news, and I want to tell y'all thanks. I don't think y'all know how much how important y'all are out here. Charlamagne, Envy, and Yee. Do y'all sometimes sit back and just think of what y'all do for people on a regular basis?
Thank you so much,
No, I mean, nobody got time to be thinking about that.
Bottom of my heart,
think
bro.
About like Yee do ask Yee, where she humbly talk to people and give them good advice. Then she travel to cities and countries, could travel to states, this country, doing seminars empowering our sisters. You know, showing sisters what they can do, how they can become, how they can grow up and blow up. Charlamagne, you constantly digging up HBCUs, right? All y'all do pretty much fundraisers to help brothers and sisters go to college. Then you tackle mental awareness, and you donate to brothers and sisters helping sisters and brothers with mental illnesses because you know how it affects you too, right?
Yeah.
We appreciate sometimes. you for recognizing the work. That's nice.
It is. And even Envy, you travel this country holding seminars, showing people how to be bosses. And these people ain't your family and friends. Y'all do this for people y'all don't even know. So I just want to let y'all know we appreciate y'all, man. For
thank
real.
You. Hey, man, we appreciate you
because we wouldn't even be in the position that we're in without you. So.
That's right. We got your universal basic income check coming in the mail for, bigging us up this morning. Thank you for that.
Thank you, brother. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is Vita. How are you guys? Hey.
Good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Hey, so I was calling because I realized that there was one group of a population of children that weren't being talked about for the coronavirus, and that was kids in foster care and how their lives are changing so drastically because of it. And I just wanted everybody to just take a minute to think, you know, I've seen my friends complaining about their kids being home, driving them crazy. But these kids, they're taken from their families and they're put with complete strangers. And now they can't even do visits because all of the service providers are canceled. The caseworkers are not doing visits at all this month. So for the next 30 days, who knows what's going to happen to them? And it's just very
difficult
because these are my kids, you know, and I'm in Jersey. And I just don't see anybody talking about it. So I just want everybody to know just to be grateful because these kids are with strangers and they can't visit their family. On top of that, they can't see their friends because school is closed. So just everyone be grateful and just keep these kids in your prayers because they need it.
I like praying, absolutely, but you know, faith without works is dead. So what can we do? What can we do for these kids, if anything?
Jump.
All right. What happened?
Her line drop.
Why you hang up on it?
No, her line drop.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Yes, so actor Daniel Day-Kim revealed yesterday that he has tested positive for coronavirus. And he went on Instagram and talked about just how he found out that he had it, what his symptoms were, where he got it. He is from Lost. He's from The Good Doctor. He's from Hawaii 5-0. I actually saw him in the airport like last month when I was going from L.A. back to New York as well. And
how long ago was that?
New York.
Did you have contact with him yet? How long ago was that?
No, but you know what? We were in the Sky Club, and I only know that because my makeup artist, Sandra Dean, was so excited. She was like, oh, my God, Daniel Day-Kim is in here. When were
we in
LA?
Did you talk to him? Did you shake his hand?
No, I didn't. It was the NAACP Image Awards, so whenever that was.
Oh, that was like 30 days ago, 45 days ago. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We're watching you. Yeah.
So we're all isolated from each other right now. So anyway, he did say he tested positive. Here's what else he said.
I wanted to let you know that yesterday I tested positive for COVID-19. I was asymptomatic during all of this time. As the flight was close to landing, I started noticing some scratchiness in my throat. I called my family doctor in Hawaii and he told me to monitor my symptoms. But later that night, I started feeling tightness in my chest, body aches, and my temperature started to rise. So he then told me to get tested.
And in addition to that, Danny, Kim wanted to bring attention to the prejudice and violence against Asian people right now and why he thinks that it's really harmful for political leaders to try to rename coronavirus the Chinese virus. Here's what he said.
Please stop the prejudice and senseless violence against Asian people. Randomly beating elderly, sometimes homeless Asian Americans is cowardly, heartbreaking, and it's inexcusable. Yes, I'm Asian. And yes, I have coronavirus, but I did not get it from China. I got it in America, in New York City. And despite what certain political leaders want to call it, I don't consider the place where it's from as important as the people who are sick and dying. If I did, I would call this thing the New York virus.
I wonder if some Asian people who test positive are keeping that to themselves just because of the negative stigma, I guess, attached to Asians in the coronavirus right now.
I hope not, because there's everybody catching it now. It doesn't matter who you are, what background you have. It's everybody's catching it.
I said they said like between 40 to 70 people are going to end up getting it. That's a lot.
Just 40 to 70?
But yeah.
40, 70 million, you
percent.
Mean?
You mean million?
40 yeah. to 70% of people.
Oh,
here
oh
in the
okay. yeah, you just yeah. said 40 to 70. No. I'm like, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, I said 40 to 70%.
Now, you didn't say that at first.
70% at first.
All right, Tom Hanks, in the meantime, is doing not great but still okay while he's recovering from coronavirus. Now, his sister told the Daily Mail, I've communicated with my brother. He's not great, still okay. Am I shocked? No. He's an actor, not a god, but medical care in Australia is good. So fortunately for him, he's, you know, I guess still a little under the weather but doing a lot better. Now, a lot
I need
of
to know what not great
live.
Means, though. Don't you want to know what not great means?
He's probably still a little bit sick, just like Daniel Day Kim is saying. He's recovering. He didn't even actually ever have to go to the hospital or anything. So for Daniel Day Kim, he's, you know, people are still feeling a little bit sick, like if you have the flu.
Yeah, I wanna, yeah, it would help for, yeah, it would help for people to tell their stories, because then people will know when they're just dealing with a cold or the flu or, you know what, this really might be corona. You know?
Because I'm tired of taking my temperature every 4 hours, being scared, not knowing what to expect, not knowing what I'm looking for. Like, yeah, tell
you just like that thermometer up your butt. You just like that thermometer up your butt. I know what that is.
Well, some people have no symptoms at all. So it's just, it's really different for everybody, right? Some people are asymptomatic. Some people get extremely sick. Some people just get a little bit sick. So I don't think there's a one size fits all. Some people have a scratchy throat. I did read, they said that if you have some like diarrhea and problems with your stomach and digestion, some for some people, that's like the first symptom that something's
See?
Wrong.
But, I need to know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need that information.
All right, now Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato are among the people who have been on Instagram Live. There's been a lot of chats going on, and they talked about their own relationship with each other. They've had an on and off friendship, and Miley Cyrus opened up about the 2013 MTV Video Music Awards and how she struggled after that because of the memes that went viral about her and how she couldn't even wear a bikini anymore. Listen to this.
2 or 3 years where I wouldn't wear shorts. I stopped wearing like skirts on stage, all this shit. Because after the VMAs and I had on my cute little new bodysuit, everyone started comparing me to a turkey and making, putting a turkey in my outfit. So then I wouldn't, because I was like, just like so skinny and so pasty, and they like kept putting me next to this turkey, and I was feeling so bad about myself that I did not wear a bikini for like 2 years, and no one thought that that would have ever made me feel some type of way. That's what we were talking about. Memes can be so much fun, but they can also just be so hurtful.
Okay.
Yeah, that has to be hard, man, when people are just making fun of your body and what you look like, and then you're just embarrassed.
So, that's the era we live in, though. Like that's the era we live in. Unless you've never shared a meme of a person, you're guilty. Like I don't care what the meme is. Even if it's a meme that you think is innocent, is somebody out there getting clowned about it?
Right. Well, Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato have known each other since they were 14 years old when they were Disney starlets. And they said that it looks like there was a little bit of flirtation going on during this Instagram Live. And maybe at some point they hooked up. Listen to this.
we connected then because we just saw something in each other. Maybe it was their spirituality, or maybe it was just our hearts. I don't know, but
or maybe we were just gay as.
Okay, what was your question?
I hate to tell you. Next question.
Yeah, it sounds like they hooked up.
No, they really gay. They just being gay because they're born and quarantined.
Now, this was before.
Well, I think something that happened in the past. You know, they just had a lot
of things. Oh, okay, okay. You know, listen, people, protect yourself against that because you be sitting in the house bored and next thing you know, you start calling exes and reminiscing. That's what that sounded like to me just now.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee and that is your Rumor Report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, we are going to talk about these breaks on mortgage payments, and we'll give you some more updates on what's happening with coronavirus, the stimulus package. What can you expect? You know, there's all these store closings. People are out of work right now. People are getting laid off. So what are we going to do moving forward? We'll tell you what some things that have been discussed are.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, we are broadcasting live from home. I'm at my crib in my office. Charlamagne's in her his basement, and Angela Yee is still in Detroit.
Yes, I'm in my basement.
I'm too comfortable in here. So if I let a few couple curse words fly, you just hit the dump button, Eddie.
My goodness. All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Where are we starting, Yee?
Hello.
Yes. Well, let's start with this family in New Jersey. Now, four members of this extended family have died within days of one another, and three others are hospitalized. It all started with the death of Rita Fusco Jackson. That happened on Friday. She was the second person in Jersey confirmed to have died from coronavirus. And then her brother also tested positive for the virus and died on Wednesday. Her brother, Carmine Fusco. Hours later, their mother, Grace Fusco, died. She was 73 years old. And then Vincent Fusco died. And a really sad situation. And three of their other children remain in the hospital. About 20 other relatives are being quarantined in their homes. So here is what one family member has to say.
It's like the second we start to grieve about one, the phone rings and there is another person gone, taken from us forever. It's not like it was one. By time we got over my first sister, not over, it settled in our brains. We got the next call. We're just begging for help. We never want to get that call anytime soon ever again because of this.
That is sad.
And it's a damn shame, too, because I was watching CNN last night, and I think they said that that they can't even get a test for the coronavirus, the 20 people that are quarantined. Mm-hmm. But what's the details of the ages, though? I know the one woman was 73. How old was everybody else?
I think the kids were 53 and 51. They were in their 50s. I'm not sure, but that's the reason why I got into that argument with my pops, man. I'm like, yo, stay home. Like, I can't see you right now. Do you know how bad you would feel if you bring that home? That's why they want everybody just to stay the F home, man. Stay away.
Yeah, and that's why I want to know the ages because, you know, people, you know, keep saying that it's, you know, just something the first that's person affecting older people.
The first person who passed was 55 years old. Then the 55. Mother who passed was 73 years old. Yes. And so it goes on from there. Then the brother passed. Now let's discuss another person who has tested positive for coronavirus, and that is Sean Payton, and he's the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. So that's the first NFL figure to have a positive coronavirus test that we know of publicly. He said, appreciate the well wishes. I'm feeling better and fortunate to not have any of the respiratory symptoms. Four more days at home. Hashtag beat COVID. And that's what he had to say. The team retweeted his message as well. He said he started feeling unwell on Sunday. He was tested Monday. He said he's self-isolating at home and feeling fatigued, but he doesn't have a fever or a cough. So there's been more than 380 cases that have been reported in Louisiana. A majority of those are in New Orleans or in the New Orleans area. Now, we told you about the CNN town hall. So one thing that was discussed was if you do get coronavirus, can you get it again or will you be immune? Well, here is what Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove had to say.
The answer is we don't know yet. What we are looking at and what scientists are looking at is to see an immune response amongst individuals who are infected with this virus. We don't have robust data on this yet. What could happen is that when someone gets infected, that they develop an immune and antibody response, and that could provide some protection going forward. We don't have data to be able to say whether this is possible or not.
All right. Now, in California, they've ordered their nearly 40 million residents to stay home, and that is to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Their governor, Governor Gavin Newsom, has been the first person to order a statewide mandatory restriction in the United States. So far in California, 19 people have died and more than 900 people have tested positive. They said these restrictions will remain in place until further notice. And they said half the state is projected to be infected by the virus in 2 months. So that is what he said, is straight talk.
They just need to do a government mandate all across the whole country and put everybody under those same restrictions. And I feel like if we had a president that people actually trusted, then people wouldn't mind that. But being that Donald Trump, you know, comes off as a dictator and a tyrant, it feels like martial law. And so I think some people are just naturally rebelling and they wouldn't want to listen to him telling us that we got to be on lockdown. But that's necessary. Well, I think it's needed right now.
This is serious. And I feel like people had issues with how our government was treating this at first, like it wasn't a big deal and nothing to really worry about. And now it's sound the alarm time. And we should have done that from the beginning, as mm-hmm. we should have taken cues from what was happening in Italy, what was happening overseas in China, and said, okay, we have to make sure this doesn't happen here. You can even see in Florida, people at the beaches, no social distancing. They finally in Miami shut down the beaches there. But I don't understand this sense of safety that people are having right now.
Because as people don't
have... Sound like Darth Vader, Charlamagne. I mean, I think it has to do a lot with the parents, too. Like, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, and I get it. There's a lot of kids out there and there's a lot of teenagers out there. But I won't allow my daughter to go out. Like, I'm not allowing my 18-year-old and my 16-year-old to leave the house. You know? You still sound like Darth Vader, Charlamagne. I
reset,
you know?
Charlamagne.
You said what?
All right. Well, that is your... No, I was saying...
No, nope. He has to reset.
That is your front page news. I'm Angela Yee.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, if you don't know yet, we are broadcasting live from our home. So if this is the first day, so there's going to be a little technical difficulty. So that's why we sound like Darth Vader at time, and sometimes we sound like Future. But we're getting it together. But when we come back, we're going to kick it with Andrew Yang. All right? Andrew Yang will be kicking it with us. So we'll talk to him when we come back. So don't move. Get your ass up. It's still the same thing. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Checking out the world's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Our only guest...
This week. Yeah. We had to make an exception.
So you know it must be very important. We have Andrew Yang here.
You could say CNN commentator Andrew Yang.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys. I didn't know I was the only guest. Like, I feel very special. Thank you.
Yeah, you're the only guest to actually come in. So
now, have you experienced...
We figured it must be special.
Yeah, I know we got something special to talk about, but have you experienced any bigotry because of the coronavirus or the China virus, as the president calls it?
Not directly, but... You know, I mean, as an Asian American, like, you can't help but feel bad for the fact that your community is getting called out in that way. I mean, mm-hmm. It's pretty dark.
What did you think when he called it the China virus, and him saying, the reason I called it that is because China was saying that it was started from American soldiers?
I think it's the same old bullshit distraction ploy that Trump uses whenever things are going wrong for him. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely very much going wrong for him, given that his administration... dropped the ball so egregiously on this for weeks, and you can't get those 6 weeks back.
Yeah, I was shocked that he actually told the truth this week and said, look, this is a pandemic.
You know, it's like you ignore it and then you swing to the other extreme. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he then changes tone again and again, because he can't keep the same tone for more than like 2 or 3 days at a time.
Now, if you were president during the time, would you have shut the country down early? What would you do if you were president right now?
Well, the first thing is you try and suppress and contain the virus when there are a limited number of cases, where you could actually do what's called tracing people, where you have cases, you try and monitor who they came into contact with. Missing that window was crucial, because at this point, it's almost impossible to do any kind of trace. You have so many people that have been in contact with other people that have been tested positive. So at this point now, we're in mitigation mode, and mitigation mode is incredibly painful for us all, where you're shutting down the economy, You're not allowing people to get together in groups of, well, not allowing, but it's like, you know, discouraging groups of
more
50 plus for or 10 plus for 2 months. And the reason I'm here today is because I understand what that means in terms of people's day-to-day lives, ability to feed yourself.
Right.
Because if you look around here in New York and around the country, think about the industries that have been affected. It's not just people who work in restaurants and bars, and that's a lot of people. That's not just cooks and wait staff and managers, parking attendants. But then you look at all of the people that rely upon, frankly, going out and actually doing their job every day. So
right.
That's personal trainers, nail salons, security guards, ushers, every sporting event's canceled. Do you think about that in terms of the economic loss? And so, to me, the decision to shut down the economy is in some ways as dangerous as the virus itself. Because if you have millions of Americans sent home and their money's going to dry up pretty quick,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're looking around saying, am I going to be able to feed myself? Like, can I pay my rent? Are we paying rent now? Because, mm-hmm. you know, there are people who've been sent home in this way. To me, that's a massive danger, a potential. So we're already in a recession, like right now. And the question is, how deep and dark is it going to get? And can it become a depression? Mnuchin projected that if we didn't do anything big, we'd wind up with 20% unemployment, which is Great Depression era level rates of unemployment. So you have the virus, and then you have all the economic havoc and devastation and deprivation being caused by the clampdown in response to the virus.
And overwhelming the healthcare system.
Yeah, and overwhelming the healthcare system, because right now, I don't know about you guys, but like, if I got sick right now, I mean, you try and get tested, but how confident would you be that you'd get a test in the right time frame?
I mean, it's almost impossible, unless you're, you know.
Well, we have a certain level of celebrity, so I'm sure we could get one. Because it seems like all the celebrities and athletes are getting them.
Yeah, I guess I'd pick up my celebrity hotline. But so the healthcare system is being overwhelmed by both real cases showing up,
mm-hmm.
But also everyone being like, hey, you know, I don't feel so good. Can I get a test? And what does that mean? The big thing I'm concerned about right now, in addition to the obvious, is that, so my kids' schools shut down. I mean, everyone's schools have shut down at this
Ours
point.
Ours too, yeah.
And so the question is, what would be the signal that would allow the schools to reopen? And so in order to have that signal, you would need to have some kind of data on the decline in the infection rate or number of cases. But right now, because our testing is so inadequate, we don't even know what that rate is. We don't know what the data is. And if you look at the number of cases that are going to be reported, it's going to be going up for quite some time. So that, to me, is the biggest danger, is that we wind up in this mitigation stage, and we're essentially in this mitigation stage indefinitely.
Right.
Because there's never a catalyst to say, all right, it's gotten better. So you asked what I would do. The big thing I would do for the American people right now is I would say, look, here's where we are. Here are the numbers we have. Here's the dashboard. And if we do a great job flattening the curve, self-quarantining, decreasing the infection rate, then this is the goal at this time frame. And if we can keep it under this level, then our healthcare system's capacity will grow to be able to handle this. And then we can look at potentially reopening things at this point. So if we do a great job, and I want you all to do a great job, but right now we're all in the dark.
Right.
We don't know what we're shooting for. We don't know what the goals are. We don't know what success looks like. And so we're all at home with our kids trying to figure out what's next.
American citizens have to be willing to give up a little bit of civil liberties in order to, like, really self-quarantine, though, right? Like, the government is going to have to say, look, everybody has to stay home.
Yeah, what do you think about that? You know, San Francisco has done it. Do you think that we should do it?
And China did it, right? Didn't China have 100% shut down?
China shut it down pretty thoroughly. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like you look at what they've done. And it is true. We've got very different societies. You know, like I came in today. Obviously, I'm in the studio with you all. And certainly there was less traffic and foot traffic than normal. But there's still people out and about.
There's a lot of people out there driving around and everything. Now, what do you think about New York? Do you think we should shut down New York?
I think that...
Because people are not going to stay home, especially New Yorkers. New Yorkers are not going to stay home.
You got to make it government mandated.
I see people at the park. Like, do you think we should just shut it down?
I think that it's tough because there are a lot of things that people are going to rely on. Like, let's say you quote-unquote shut it down and I'm at home. Then what am I going to do? I'm going to go out to the bodega and try and, like, get some groceries.
Not if the bodega shut down.
Exactly. So then you have to look around and say there are all of these things that people will rely upon even if they're at home. even if they're just sitting there saying, you know what, I'm going to order some delivery. Like, who the heck is the delivery person? You know, so then you'd have to at least make some calls as to say, well, people that are vital to the continuing functioning of the infrastructure we rely upon, like sanitation, obviously they need to go out, police, firefighters. So I think that a total lockdown would be a bit much at this stage. But certainly, if it's optional, again, you can stay home, then you should.
All right, we got more with Andrew Yang. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Andrew Yang. Charlamagne?
Let's talk about solutions. You're doing something with Humanity Forward, which I think is dope. What are you doing?
I'm here to announce that we're going to give $1 million away to the working poor in New York City and beyond.
A whole $1 million.
Yeah.
No, 1 million.
Yeah, because we know that people are suffering right now. We know that there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of need. And you've probably seen the announcements about how the government seems like they're poised to send checks to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we
Yeah, they're taking your style. They're taking your universal basic income. They're taking that. That's your plan. Yang?
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of Yang Gang now over in D.C.
Yeah, I see.
now that it's crisis time. But we can't wait that long.
Drop on the clues bombs for Andrew Yang. He's giving $1 million to New York City. In just the whole city? All five boroughs? Or?
Well, we're focusing on the Bronx. And we have a couple of partners that are going to help us get the money into people's hands directly in a way to be most effective. So we're working with an organization called Neighborhood Trust that is community-based financial planning nonprofit that actually helps people figure out how to get money and save it. And so it's perfect because we're going to work with them to get money into the bank accounts of the working poor in the Bronx. And then they actually are going to give like a complimentary 15-minute like, hey, you know what you're going to do with this money kind of style. But we're also going to be donating money to tipped workers, wait staff who've lost their jobs. And then we're just going to be giving money away to the general public on our website, movehumanityforward.com.
Wow.
That if you just come, we're going to give $250 to $500 micro grants to people who just come and tell us why they need the money. We can't do everyone, obviously, but we're going to do all we can. And if we get enough money, we can do more.
And what's the website again?
The website's movehumanityforward.com.
So this is $1 million out of your pocket?
Well, it's $1 million that was donated to the nonprofit I started maybe 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, if you get money, this is how we should use it.
Now, we got to donate, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know things are tight because we are in a recession. Mm-hmm. So I got to talk to my financial advisor and see how much I can donate.
Yeah, I got to talk to my wife. How about that?
I got to talk to my wife, too, her, too. But I think we definitely going to donate to this cause. This is a great cause.
Oh, thank you, guys. And what I can tell you is 100% of every dollar you donate is going to go towards just directly into someone's hands who needs it.
So $5,000 can go a long way then.
Oh yeah, man. $5,000 could be, 20 people getting $250. And then you'll probably see those stories posted on social media. We'll freaking...
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll actually just say, it's like, look, like this could be from Charlamagne.
I'm in for that. I mean, I got you. $5,000.
Absolutely.
I got you for $5,000, Yang.
There you go.
I like this.
All right.
How much you going
to tell? I got to talk to my wife first, but I might match you. I might match you.
I'm hearing that you're considering running for mayor of New York. Andrew, any truth to that?
Well, you know, I'd love to help in any way I can, and certainly if I can help the people in New York, I'm going to do everything I can. My campaign's issues were around national issues, frankly.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the mayor race and certainly wouldn't rule it out.
I like that for
you.
I like Andrew Yang, mayor of New York.
Oh, thanks, man. That's really kind.
I like that.
Yeah, there have been a lot of people that have reached out saying, if you run, I'm in. It's very gratifying. We'll definitely look at it.
So you think that's a possibility?
It's a possibility for sure. I mean, you know, that there are other possibilities too. Like obviously, if the Democrats beat Trump in the fall, there's a good chance that I join the administration in some form. So there are different things on the table.
Has Biden promised you a cabinet position?
We've talked, and I'd have a place in the administration is the pretty clear message.
You endorsed Joe Biden, but I remember you saying you wouldn't endorse a candidate who didn't endorse universal basic income. And Biden never has.
Well, what I said was endorsing universal basic income would be a way to get me to come out and support you. But I also said I'm going to support whoever the nominee is. And after Michigan, the math was clear that Biden was going to be our nominee. So I thought, look, like we don't have any time to waste in terms of pulling people together to beat Donald Trump.
How do you unify the party, though? How do you get Yang Gang or even Bernie Bros to say, you know what, we will support the establishment. Because Joe Biden is every bit of the establishment.
I think that's why Bernie is such an important figure. Like if Bernie says to his people, look, job one is beat Trump. Joe's a good man. And Bernie and Joe are actually friends and friendly. So I think if Bernie comes out really strong and clear to his people and says, we have to come together, and if Biden signals that he'll make concessions and adjustments based upon Bernie's priorities in terms of the Democratic platform mm-hmm. or the agenda of the administration, I think if those two can come together, then the party will unify to a much higher degree than if people sense that, you know, it's only skin deep.
Right. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't what America's doing right now by giving out all this money, isn't that socialism?
It is not socialism, I'm happy to report.
Okay.
So it's capitalism where income doesn't start at zero. So people think of socialism as free money. Socialism is not free money. Mm-hmm. If you look up the definition of socialism in the dictionary, it's when the means of production is appropriated by the government. Putting money into people's hands actually helps markets function better. It helps businesses start. It's actually good for the market economy. It's one reason why I'm so passionate about it is that if we do not take this step of putting money into people's hands, capitalism is not going to work as well. It's not working that well now. Like, people see it around. That's why everyone's getting pissed off. So to me, putting money into people's hands is the necessary future of capitalism because markets are not going to function if we don't have money to spend.
The Trump administration reached out to you, though, right? Didn't they reach out to you about universal basic income with their whole cash relief thing they're doing?
Yeah, our team's in touch with their team. We sent over a bunch of studies that show that if you put money into people's hands, it makes them happier, healthier, mentally healthier, more trusting, more productive. So they're looking for any ammo to obviously support the policy that they're clearly going to end up implementing in the next number of days happily. I mean, I just hope that checks get here quickly.
But it's so crazy, right? They stole your So basically everybody's saying you were right.
But he got it from
about
somewhere
cash relief.
He got it from somewhere else.
He got it from
too.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, that's true.
But they're basically saying you're right. Do you think it's easier to get things done as an old white man in this country? If you were an old white man, people would have listened to you more.
I think it would have been a tough message regardless of who the messenger was. I'll tell you guys a story that you'll appreciate. So I was with a black mayor who supports universal basic income. And then he came to me afterwards and says, like, you can get away with saying I can never say. Mm-hmm. It's like the magical Asian man saying we should get everyone money is actually like not a bad look in the scheme of things. If I was an old white dude, like, I probably would have come across as like a socialist or something more so than I do because people sense that I'm an entrepreneur. I like progress. I like innovation. And I just think putting money into people's hands is the vital next step to actually build a future we're excited about.
But Trump is going to get it done. But when you say it, it's like, oh, he's crazy. That'll never happen. I even said it to you one time. Like, people think that the only reason, you know, you're even in this is because you're just promising to give people money. And now they're doing that.
Yeah.
Clearly, old white men have an advantage in that department.
Well, certainly if you're in power and it's a crisis, it's a lot easier to send all the checks out than if you're on the outside saying, hey, we should send everyone checks.
All right, we got more with Andrew Yang. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Andrew Yang. Charlamagne?
Is there an end to this coronavirus stuff, you think?
And that's one of the problems, one of the big problems, because we know the virus is going to be with us for a while. The question is whether the spread is such that it's actually affecting schools and businesses and bars and restaurants and that. But the virus is going to be with us until we get a vaccine. Mm-hmm. So the vaccine, let's call it a year and a half from now. Mm-hmm. Post-vaccine, we should be all right, because if you vaccinate everyone, then it's under control. So the question is, what does the next year and a half look like? And no one obviously thinks that we're going to be in this lockdown mode for that long. But there is a world where we come out and then the virus comes back and then they say, hey, we need to lock it down again for a particular period of time.
So, yeah, could I think about like Ebola and swine flu and bird flu and Zika. SARS and Zika and like what happened to all those?
So the big issue here is that those diseases were more deadly, more virulent than the coronavirus that we're dealing with now. And you'd think, okay, well, the coronavirus being less deadly, that's a good thing. And it is a good thing. But it also means it's a lot harder to get rid of because it's just kind of around. Like, you can be asymptomatic. So the diseases that actually are more lethal burn out more quickly. Mm-hmm. And because this thing is less lethal than those diseases, it's likely to to linger for quite some time.
Why is it so easy to get money at times like this, but not for everyday issues like poverty? Because, like, the hood has needed a bailout forever.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is why Dr. King was fighting for this in the 60s. The fact that it went from being something that he was fighting for to essentially off the radar for so many decades, to me, is mystifying. Mm-hmm. It's like we've needed this the whole time. It actually came close to passing Congress in 1971, and that to me was the moment. Like, if we'd passed a version of universal basic income in 1971, imagine all of the pointless misery that would have been alleviated from then till now. But I agree with you. It takes a crisis to get new ideas across the finish line sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because, I mean, they give you hell, they give Bernie hell, they give Elizabeth Warren hell, and they're like, where are y'all going to get this money from? But now they're asking for $1 trillion f***ing dollars.
Oh, this is one of the things I said to people around the country. I said the biggest lie in American life today is that we don't have the money. Mm. Because when the banks needed money, we printed $4 trillion for them. And no one remembers anyone looking around being like, oh, do we have that money? It's right. like when the banking system...
We just print the money.
...needed $4 trillion, we gave it to them. Trump tax cut, that was $1.5 trillion. That went to big companies. And most of that money went to share buybacks, you know, in the top, like, 1% or 2%. And so if we're broke, like, if like families are struggling, then someone looks at them and be like, well, you know, what can you do? But if you're a giant bank or drug airline. Company or military contractor or what have you, they just can't give you money fast enough.
Right.
So to me, the change we have to make is we have to start treating ourselves and our people better than we're treating the giant companies.
Now, anything you regret doing on the campaign trail?
I regret a lot of things. I'm really proud of a lot of things, too, you know. Certainly the whipped cream thing seemed completely, like, innocuous at the time, and then, like, some people made a big thing out of it. I was like...
Come on, think harder.
You got something for him? What you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what? Like, what I do wrong, man?
The choir robe with the black church. That just looked like pandering. Why did you put the choir robe on and sing at the black church?
If you were there... So what happened was, like, I was there with the choir... And then the people in the choir wanted selfies with me. So I went in and they were taking selfies. And then one of the people who was singing literally put the robe on me. And then they were singing. And then obviously, like, you know, I'm there. I've got the robe on. So I just sing too. And then someone takes a video of it.
Yeah, you couldn't say no. That black pressure ain't no joke.
Nah, not when they putting the robe on. Yeah, you couldn't say no. It happens sometimes.
You couldn't say no.
I enjoyed it. Like, I, you know, I'd feel terrible if someone thought it was anything other than, like, me trying to be a part of the community or supportive.
So you didn't feel stupid?
It actually felt great.
I'm glad you're standing by that, because perception is not reality. Because the perception, you're like, oh, he looks stupid. But if you felt good,
he felt good.
That's all that matters.
He was praising the Lord.
Now, what made you want to be a CNN commentator? Because some people think that was your play the whole time. It was like, oh, Andrew just wanted to get in the race, get famous, and use this to sell books. And
well, that's a really weird way to go about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. So what happened was I suspended my campaign, and then CNN called the next day and was like, hey, you want to come on and talk about stuff? And then to me, the concern at the time was that, frankly, like, the movement was going to lose steam. And I said, well, this is one way I can maintain mm-hmm. a degree of public visibility and notoriety and keep pushing the agenda. So that, you know, it said yes, and it was honestly a short-term deal. But it looks like I might be there a while longer because, like, it seems like a good fit.
Did the Childish Gambino and Dave Chappelle endorsements help, you think?
Of course. Jeez. You know, I mean, Dave freaking went and performed shows on my behalf in Iowa and South Carolina. I mean, that was, like, the greatest thing ever. Yeah, Donald Glover had, like, a freaking fashion line dedicated to the campaign that was, like, an awesome both awareness and fundraising tool. And I'm in touch with those guys. Like, I thanked them, obviously, after the we suspended. And Dave just texted me 2 days ago when they came out with all this give money away stuff. He was like, man, like, you know, like, you were right. Like, you know, we pushed him in the right direction.
What we see in the government bailing out all these different people, they're willing to give the money, the case for reparations for Black America.
To me, step one is right now, step one's like, take care of the crisis and then get money into people's hands, and then we should turn towards reparations. But I think you need to be a stronger, more integrated society for them to actually realistically move reparations forward. And so that's job one, is try and pull people together.
You mean, like, we need to be more organized about it?
Not even like, it's not even like black people need to be more organized about it. I mean that we need to get our country to a point where it can realistically reckon with our past. And that's not, to me, a black problem. That's like...
an American problem.
That's an America problem, right? Yeah. So you got to try and get America to that point. And then we should 100% be trying to move reparations forward.
Now, with everything going on, how long do you think it'll take till we get semi back to normal?
Every indication I've gotten from the government indicates that they're planning on a time frame of at least 2 months because the checks that they're looking to send out are early April and mid-May.
Mm-hmm.
So they're projecting that this crisis stretches on through at least Memorial Day. And so that, to me, is a realistic expectation if that's the way the federal government is playing it.
Let's say after Memorial Day. Only because we don't want everybody thinking they can go out and go have the Memorial Day festivities. You know, Memorial Day is a very festive time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you know, who knows? Like, maybe things will happen in a positive way before then, but that seems like what the government is trying to prepare us for.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Andrew Yang, thank you. You're giving $1 million to New York City.
MoveHumanityForward.com. Let's do it. Let's genuinely move humanity forward. This is a lousy time, but hopefully we can come together and take care of our people.
And he's going to run for mayor in New York. And he taught us that the only way to get things done in this country is to have old white men push it.
There you go.
That's right. So reparations, universal basic income, we need old white men to get behind these things to make it happen.
He said it, I didn't.
All right. It's Andrew Yang. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor Report. Rumor Report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so Fetty Wap has responded to a report that was on The Breakfast Club. Now, according to this report, he was ordered to pay his former employee $1.1 million. Shauna Morgan, who is a former tour staffer that said that he damaged her reputation and failed to reimburse her for work-related expenses. This story was reported on several different sites like Vibe and Bossip and Hip Hop DX. Well, he had this to say about the report.
Heard on the radio that I was supposed to be involved in some goofy shit that got to do with my old company and me. Just want to let y'all know that don't got nothing to do with me. I hope y'all stop using my name, stop saying my name. You feel me? Like, we already settled our differences, me and her, personally. That $1 million got to do with her and RGF, the company. I'm no longer RGF, so I can stop putting my name with that, man.
When the hell did we talk about that? I missed that story.
That was yesterday.
That was yesterday in rumors.
Yeah, that would have been one of them ones, you know, how to, when somebody comes up to you in the street and they're like, yo, man, what y'all said about me on The Breakfast Club wasn't true. I'd be like, nigga, I don't know what you're talking about. And they swear I'd be lying.
Well, you got that from somewhere. Right, it wasn't like she made it up.
Well, yeah, no, it's all over. If you look at it right now, it's on Hot New Hip Hop. It's on Vibe. It's on Bossip. So he's saying that is not a true story. So that is Fetty Wap's side of the story. So we're, as a fair outlet, we're playing what he had to say about that. Now, Eminem was on Mike Tyson's podcast, and amongst the things that he discussed, Mike Tyson talked about how the movie The Hangover actually helped revive him.
I'm on this movie, I'm doing this set and stuff. I'm just a mess back then. So I do this movie, and I don't think this movie is shit. You know, I'm high all the time, and then I'm in a restaurant. I come out the restaurant, you see one of those buses, you know, the tour bus. They see me, they must have went to the movie and saw the preview because the movie wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
And then when they saw me, it must have been like 30, they all got off the bus and said, we love you, we saw you in the movie. And then my friend Zip, who's now no longer with us, he said, hey, we got something here, we're back.
That's crazy that Mike Tyson said that movie revived him, though, because to me, Mike Tyson has always been Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson meant that so much. He meant so much to black men and black culture that he always was Mike Tyson to me.
But that was
never fell off
age,
in my
though.
Eyes.
That was for our age, though. For a lot of the younger kids, they just know Mike Tyson from Hangover.
Well, he didn't say younger kids. He just said, I'm back.
True.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, it was a big deal just to see Mike Tyson. It made you look at him in a different light, too, because he was funny. He was acting. You know, people were very intimidated by Mike Tyson and a lot of the
Living Color,
that he went through.
And Living Color showed me Mike Tyson had a sense of humor, though. I mean, just the way they used to portray him on there.
I don't think he liked that, though, too much.
No, he didn't. But actually, that's really, when you see how they used to play him on In Living Color and then see him in real life, that's really how he is.
Yeah, but he didn't.
And
like
you know,
that.
He was mad about that, though. He definitely approached them about that. I don't think he thought it was funny.
Nah.
All right. Another thing that was discussed on Hot Boxing was Eminem talked about what his greatest achievement has been. And here's what he said.
How's that feel? You have a 23-year-old.
It definitely is crazy. It definitely is crazy. I have a niece that I had
have helped raise two that's kind of like a daughter, pretty much like a daughter to me. Wow. And she is 26, and then I have a younger one that's 17 now. So when I think about my accomplishments, like, that's probably the thing I'm the most proud of, is being able to raise kids.
That's crazy. Think about Eminem when he was younger and he had Haley and raising his daughter and how young she was. And now they're in their 20s.
Yeah, because we old.
And his niece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm going to tell you something.
That is a great accomplishment, though.
Only when the kids are successful. It's not a great accomplishment when the kids aren't successful.
Nah,
the kids turn out pretty okay in life. Okay, it's if your kids turn out, you know, a little off, you know, in jail, you know, doing things they ain't got no business doing, you don't feel too accomplished.
Successful as any, that's just them, like out of jail, no drugs. Yeah, that's
right.
Successful.
But there's always a chance for people to turn their lives around too.
That is true too.
All right, now let's talk about what else they said on this podcast. Mike Tyson and Eminem also talked about just being really good at their job, but that doesn't necessarily translate to life.
And you were the best fighter.
Yeah, but in life, that's not a good way to think. And fighting is great, but in life, it's reckless. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
To be successful in one field is disastrous in another field.
Right. Yeah.
Like with you were great in rap, but in life you were kind of shaky.
Yeah.
It was the pressure, all of a sudden, boom, they're in your face. And people are judging you, and you got a low, we have a little weird self-esteem anyway. Now people are judging us, saying things about us, and we get defensive. And when we get defensive, we play into that game.
I got to listen to that today.
Yeah, you should listen. We have time.
Because I want to know what he's talking about. I want to know why he feels that way. Like, why does he feel like that didn't serve him well in life? Because it made him so much money, so I would think it would make his life better. So I wonder what he means by that. Does he mean that he can't turn it off, so he always wants to fight even when he's not in the ring? Like, I don't know.
And in addition to that, Mike Tyson had this to say about Eminem being treated like an N-word, and Eminem had no idea how to respond.
And you're not no guy somebody gave anything. Everything you got was f***ing not even given to you, f***ing slave for it. You're the only white guy that knows what it's like to be a n***a.
Not sure how to answer that.
See, I want to know what that means too. I need more on that. Like, how has Eminem been treated like an N-word? Because you're saying N-word, well, in this case, he's saying N-word is a black person. So how has Eminem ever been treated like a black person? Eminem became Eminem because of the privilege of his white skin. We all know that.
You don't think it's because he was a good rapper, though?
Man, we're not about to have this conversation. Everybody and their mother knows he was a good rapper, but he became a superstar because he's white. He said that himself. Those words have come out of his mouth.
All right, but let's just be clear. It's not just because, not only because he's white, right? It had to start somewhere.
Being white helps a lot. A lot. Because Eminem would be Redman if he wasn't white. And Redman is great.
Because there's actually a lot of white rappers like Eminem that have never been successful, too, at the same time. But I understand that all the white kids supporting his music is what made him this mega-selling artist.
Eminem gets busy. He does get busy, but the fact that he's white took him to another
stratosphere. Everybody knows that.
But he does get busy as a rapper.
Yes.
I will say, though, I remember when Eminem was trying to shop for a deal before he got signed, and people would not pay attention to him or listen to his demo even. So, as a matter of fact, the DJ and producer Mathematics from Wu-Tang, he always talks about how he had that demo for the longest and never even bothered to listen to it, and how many people had that. And just because he was a white rapper, they didn't want to pay attention to it.
Oh, so that's what causes him to get treated like an N-word? That?
Well, I don't know why he said that, but I'm just telling you the reality of what people have said about not wanting to listen to his demo when he was first getting started before he became a megastar. It wasn't easy to get his foot in the door at first.
All right, ladies. That is your
rumor
report.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Up next is Donkey today. Who are you giving that donkey to, Charlamagne?
You know, it's a young woman. Well, she's not too young, but her name is Evangeline Lee Lilly. All right, I don't know how you
Evangeline,
pronounce her name. I call it a wasp.
Evangeline.
I call it a wasp.
Evangeline?
Well, I call it a wasp because, you know, I watch Marvel movies, but she needs to come to the front of the congregation because she's one of these people that's going to keep us in the house for a long time because she's not listening.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey?
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Donkey of the Day for Friday, March 20th, goes to Evangeline Lilly. Okay, if you don't know who that is, but you are a fan of all things Marvel like me, then you know
Evangeline. What the hell is her name?
Evangeline.
Evangeline Lilly. Okay, she plays the character of Hope Van Dyne, a.k.a. the Wasp from Ant-Man and the Wasp. I didn't even know her real name until this morning when I read this story. Some of y'all also probably know her from Lost. I know her as the Wasp. But today, she is a lesson to us all. I am using her as an opportunity to teach because she's too woke. I hate wokeness. Okay, you have heard your Uncle Charlotte say this a million, billion, trillion times. All woke people need some damn sleep, okay? Sleep loss dumbs you down. Sleepiness causes you to be depressed. Sleepiness makes you forgetful. Sleepiness impairs your brain functions. It messes with your memory and decision making. And this is exactly what people don't take into consideration when they woke all the time. Okay, go rest yourself. Because right now, during this global pandemic that coronavirus has caused, we don't need anyone to get caught sleeping, because you getting caught sleeping isn't just impacting you. It's impacting all of us. See, Evangeline Lilly is one of those people who still wants to be outside. Casanova, I blame you. Casanova was out here all last fall and winter screaming, he outside with it. Then him and Uncle Murder did a song about it. Next thing you know, everyone and their mama, you know, up until a couple weeks ago, was outside with it. We outside with it. Now I'm a Cancer. I'm a natural homebody. I don't give a damn about being outside. I like to be in the house minding my black ass business. So when I saw everybody outside with it in the dead of winter, I just didn't understand it. If it was spring or summer, cool, I get it. But being outside when it's 5 degrees, who got time for that? And see, some of y'all been outside so much the last few months that it's really become a habit. And now that it's time to break that habit and stay in the house to flatten this corona curve, you don't even know how. And some of y'all don't want to because you feel like the Wasp. You feel like an Evangeline Lilly, okay? Now, I'm going to read you what she posted yesterday on Instagram. And I know some of y'all going to agree with her. And I'm going to tell all of y'all why that is stupid after I read it. Now, Evangeline Lilly posted on Instagram yesterday, hashtag morning tea. Just dropped my kids off at gymnastics camp. They all washed their hands before going in. They are playing and laughing. Hashtag business as usual. Now, what makes this all the more stupid is that Lilly not only lives with her two young children, but also with her father, who has stage 4 leukemia. Leukemia already makes the immune system weak. So if her father catches coronavirus, it's probably a wrap. But nope, Evangeline is throwing caution to the wind because, in her words, the coronavirus is just a respiratory flu and perhaps a political ploy by the government. Okay, she posted on Instagram, there's something every election year. She posted, where we are right now feels a lot too close to martial law for my comfort. Okay, she continued by saying, let's be vigilant right now, keeping a close eye on our leaders, making sure they don't abuse this moment to steal away more freedoms and grab more power. See, this is a combination of her just being stupid, but it's also a combination of us not trusting the Trump administration, and we have no reason to, okay? It's an administration that we can't trust giving us orders and us rebelling against them because they've proven that they aren't for all Americans, just the rich and elite. And we've seen this administration strip away civil liberties before. So when they tell us stay in the house, we don't want to listen to them. If we didn't think Trump was a tyrant who wanted to be king, we would listen to national and local officials more when they tell us stay home. But here's the thing. Whether you agree with the government or not, whether you think it's a political ploy or not, you got eyes, don't you? You got ears, don't you? You can hear and see what's going on around you, right? Common sense should tell you, follow the money. When you see the NBA, the NHL, all these corporations and companies shutting down, Evangeline, she's in Hollywood. All production is halted on everything, TV show, films. When you see the money stop circulating, not to mention people dying, not to mention all these folks getting sick, common sense should tell you that is something going on. And for the safety of your kids and your sick father at home, even if you don't care about the rest of us, care about them. Look, we need people to make being inside as cool as y'all made being outside, okay? The whole gang inside with it. Practicing social distancing. You know why? Because with no social distancing, with social distancing, one person in 5 days can infect 2.5 people, okay? So in 30 days, that could turn to 400 people. But if 50% of the people stay inside, one person in 5 days will infect 1.2 people. And in 30 days, only 50 people will be infected. If you have 75% of the people staying inside, one person infects 0.625 people, not even a whole person. So that means in 30 days, only 2.5 people will be infected. What does that translate to? Staying home, okay? Being inside, the whole gang inside with it. Okay, you can have all the conspiracy theories you want. You can believe it's a government ploy. You can, you know, think that it's not real. Whatever. But understand, the virus is absolutely real. Okay, it exists. It's not a hoax. It's not fake. All right, it's a real virus. Regardless of why it's here or how it got here or who's behind it, it's here. So move accordingly, because the life you save will probably not be yours. I know thinking about other people is a hard concept for some to grasp, but grasp it so we can get back outside. Please give Evangeline Lilly the biggest hee-haw.
All right, well, thank you for that donkey today, Charlamagne.
Yes, indeed.
All right, when we come back, let's open up the phone lines. 800-585-1051. Do you have a friend that just won't sit their ass at home? Or maybe you are that person that won't sit your ass at home. Let's open up the phone lines.
You still want to be outside? You want to get corona in your ass crack?
All right, let's open up the phone lines. Why won't you just sit your ass down? Why won't you just stay inside? 800-585-1051. Call us right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. That was Poison, 30-year anniversary of that record.
I'm going to be honest with you. A great record. Musically aged well. Lyrically, not so much.
Nah, but it's probably one of the biggest records of our culture. Don't you agree? I think
that's a fact. Poison. But that backstage, underage, adolescent. it didn't age well. Yeah. Not at all.
Nah, but still one of the biggest records ever.
Classic.
Especially for
Come
our
on,
culture.
Classic.
Yep. All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. 800-585-1051. We're talking about people that just won't stay their ass home. People that just got to be out. We're talking to them. Do you have a friend, or maybe that's you? Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
This is King from Atlanta.
Hey, what's up? What's up, bro? You one of those people that just can't stay home?
No, I want to stay home, but my job won't let me. Like I was telling you lately, I just came back from bike week. I ride with Atlanta Gorilla Riders, and we came back from bike week in Daytona Beach, and soon as we got home, we heard the National Guard shut down Florida and stuff, so I still my job, and they're like, oh, okay, well, come on in to work. I'm like, what? So I go to work, and then the next day, my wife is all sick. She's having pains and flu-like symptoms. So I call again and send them an email, hey, can I work from home? And they're like, nah.
So you was in Daytona Beach spreading the coronavirus to everybody.
Yeah.
Tell me what you do for work.
I'm a construction manager at a cell phone tower company.
Oh, yeah, we need you,
That's
brother.
Crazy.
Yeah, but we need you.
If his wife got symptoms, he should be at work.
He control the cell phone tower, though, Envy.
It's like I asked the Congress to get them to let me work from home, and we have all the technology to do all the meetings on Teams and Skype, and they want to have a conference meet in the conference room with 25 people. I'm like, I'm not going in there.
But we need you to keep the phones on. So just figure out a way to social distance but still work, because we need you, brother.
Yeah, but we need him enough that we don't want anything to happen to him.
Hello, who's this?
This is Nina from California.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Nina.
You one of those people that just won't stay home?
She don't sound like she in the house now. In California, got a whole lockdown.
It's my friend. She will not stay out of the strip club, but she works there.
What? But I thought it was closed.
Strip club shut down?
I thought everything was closed.
I thought it was closed, too, but not in Savannah, Georgia.
So hold on. Does she dance or bartend? What does she do?
She dance.
And is people still coming to the strip club right now?
People coming to the strip club. I warned her, like, you know, all this stuff is going around and passing around blunts and all that stuff is not good.
Oh, my God. You still smoking blunts and smoking hookah and not changing the filter? Let your friend know, man, that, you know, corona can kill you fast if it gets in your ass crack. It goes from your ass crack right to your heart. Please let her know immediately.
Okay.
All right. It's all funny games. So your friend got corona in her ass crack.
800-585-1051. Are you one of those people that just won't stay home? Or maybe you got a friend that just won't stay home? Call us up right now. Let's talk to him. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club top.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're talking about people that just won't stay home. Are you that person? Do you have to be out and about? Are you going around shopping? Huh? Or what about your friend? Do you have a friend that just won't stay home? We want to talk to you guys. 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
This is Carmel from Brooklyn.
Hey, Carmel from Brooklyn. Are you one of those people that just can't stay home?
I can't stay home. I have to take care of your grandparents.
Who grandparents?
My grandparents passed away.
Yeah, wait, so whose grandparents are you taking care of?
I'm so your hypothetical grandparents. I work in a rehab facility and I take care of,
Oh, okay. I really been thinking about y'all because I was wondering about the caretakers because they have to be around the elderly, but then y'all still got to go home and be in the world. So I wonder what kind of precautions y'all are taking while y'all around those elderly folks.
We have a whole set of new precautions that we have to take specifically for the coronavirus. We have to wear masks all the time. We got to wash our hands all the time before we can come into the facility. We got to be checked for our temperatures, and they ask us a bunch of questions every day. So we're taking all the precautions to make sure everybody's safe, ourselves included.
Well, you're necessary, Carmel. Like, you have a reason to be out. You're taking care of other people. So to me, you're putting other people before you. So I salute you. But them scrippers, stay your ass home.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank
we appreciate
you, so
you and all the service you're doing. Hello, who's this?
This is Leticia from Alabama.
But we could tell you're on the road right now, so your ass won't stay home. Why are you out and about,
what
Mama?
What do you do when your employer puts the bottom dollar over the safety health of their employee?
You come in coughing every day.
To go to work.
You come in coughing every day. Fake sneezing crazy.
It is ridiculous where I work at. There is 6 cases reported in about 5 to 10 minutes from my job. The hospital is like up the street from my job.
Wow.
What do you do? What do you do for a living?
They sent out a letter. This is the BS. They sent out a letter that said for us to stay away 6 feet from our customers. I work for a loan company. There is no way possible that you are able to do that when you come in close proximity with the customers on a regular basis.
Is there any reason for a loan company to be opening right now?
Yeah, why can't you do things like over the phone, over email?
If everything's closed.
Yes. The money ain't moving. Why is the loan company?
Why y'all can't work from home?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because they don't allow us. They don't allow the people that are in the stores from working from home. Only the corporate offices, the higher.
Yeah, but ain't no, but y'all not giving out no loans right now. The money is not moving. Some people say we're already in a recession now.
Where are they going to spend it? That is the point. And if you're in a hot spot area, I mean, it's just ridiculous. The kids is home. I mean, when a company puts their dollars ahead of you, that really tells you you're working for the wrong company.
That's a fact. Shows you right where their morals and their ethics are.
Well, I'm sorry, Mama.
Just
with
jobs and people concerned right now.
Try to be healthy as possible. Try to, you know, sanitize everything that you can, Mama, and wash your hands continuously. Okay.
Hey, you know the workers. I want to salute, man. I want to salute all the therapists, all the psychiatrists, all the spiritual advisors, like people that, you know, keep us mentally healthy, that are available via phone or FaceTime or Skype at a time like this. Salute to y'all, man. You really are appreciated.
Absolutely. Also, the sanitation, the people that work in the hospitals, the people that actually have to stock those grocery stores and work at the grocery stores,
because
you see, you know, millions of people a day, and you're still out there doing that. We appreciate you guys. Even a young man, I went to the grocery store last week, and it was a brother that had to get all the shopping carts back there, and, you know, he was pushing like 40, 50 shopping carts. Salute to that brother, too, man. I had to
salute to him.
Give him a little tip, man.
I agree with you. Salute to everybody at grocery stores. Salute to people who still working at restaurants because there's some people who are still ordering takeout. I'm not going front. Last week, this week, I went to Paula's Soul Food in Hackensack, New Jersey. Salute to everybody in Paula's. Just everybody that's still providing things that people actually need. You are appreciated.
There's a lot
Thank
of Lyft and Uber drivers FedEx. Who are still working. I know Uber Eats isn't charging right now for delivery charges and all of that. People who work at Best Buy is still open. They're doing like curbside so you can order it, go pick it up outside and things like that. So people are still working and making sure that you get the things that you need.
Yes, yeah, so
that's right.
You guys.
And listen,
all right.
One more thing too. This has been on my mind. All you liberal progressive folks who like to change language and always monitoring words, when we gonna come up with a better word for when people got a disease? Because there's nothing positive about having a disease. Nothing positive about having the coronavirus. We need to come up with another word for that. Y'all always want to change words and be confusing us. Find a new word for when somebody has the actual disease instead of positive, because there's nothing positive about it.
All right. Well. All right. Now we got rumors on the way.
Yes, let's talk about Young Berg now. He talks about a time when a lot of rappers wouldn't stand by him, and he names one person in particular.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Yes, so Waka Flocka and Tammy Rivera are promoting their new Wii TV reality show, Waka and Tammy with the Flocka. And one thing that they did discuss recently was prenups. Now, here is what Waka had to say about not wanting to have a prenup with Gary with the T.
Love don't stand on the same pedestal as money. And money could never stand on the same pedestal as love. If you love a person, it shouldn't be money. They shouldn't be sick. It shouldn't be fat. It shouldn't be no color, no shape, nothing. Now, for me, if I marry you and I'm this rich guy, you rich too, but I'm supposed to be the man to make your spirit rich. That's what's wrong with couples. People look at the money and don't pay attention to the spirit. See, that's a big difference. Because I can make my wife's spirit so rich to the point she'd be richer than me financially.
That's an interesting perspective. I mean, I can see people who look at it as, you know, there's love, but then there's business.
Right.
But, you know, I also feel like, you know, when you do a prenup, you're kind of saying, you're kind of leaving the door open a little bit for things not to work out, maybe?
Not necessarily. Like, if you're in a relationship like me and my wife, or you and your wife, Charlamagne, where you've been together since 16, 17, or whatever, 18, you know the person is there for you. But now you think of somebody who's a multimillionaire that meets somebody. You just don't know what they're there for.
Very true. Very true. It's business. I get
something.
It.
I was watching this movie while I was at home, you know, during all this time, A Marriage Story. Did y'all watch that on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so this couple got married on there. And I think sometimes people don't anticipate what could potentially happen to protect themselves. And they spent so much money going through this whole thing with having to get a divorce and paying the lawyers all this money when they could have really sat down and worked it out themselves. But it can be really expensive if things don't work out and people do things that you might never expect. So I can understand both points of view. Like, some people might be like, all right, you know, we don't need it. But I can understand also just feeling like, look, I never know. Anything could potentially happen. So let me make sure I'm good. So I can see it.
And to Envy's point, you know, when you get into a relationship young like we did, you know, I've been with my wife since high school. We ain't had nothing. So we wasn't thinking about no damn prenups. What were we going to split up? A pack of gum? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so again, you know, it's just hard to tell. I don't think anybody ever gets married with the intention of getting divorced, but the reality is it does happen. So for some people, prepare yourselves, right? Mm-hmm. All right, now let's talk about Shaquille O'Neal. He's been having a good time as far as surprising people. He was popping into some video lessons. You know, first graders in Georgia were getting their classes online, and he actually surprised them, and you can see him keep popping up in the video chat.
Hello, Miss Millette.
Hello.
This is Uncle
Shaq. Is
that Shaq? Uncle
Shaq.
Shaq.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on a second. Let me see. Hi, Shaq.
Hi, Shaq.
Aubriana.
Oh, he said Aubriana.
That was pretty cool.
Man, salute to Shaq, man. Yeah, thank God for Shaq. The world needs more Shaq.
They're doing their lessons over FaceTime. So he is a family friend of one of the students. And so that ended up happening.
I don't think people putting enough emphasis on Shaq's business acumen too, man. Shaq's doing a lot of stuff on the entrepreneurial front. Shaq gonna be a billionaire.
He definitely is, and I think so too.
All right, now Young Berg, he recently was talking about how a lot of artists didn't want to touch him after all the things that he went through, and one person he talked about
Corona?
In particular that would not work with him was Jeezy. Here's what he said.
I ain't gonna lie, like, I was at the video, and this when I was in a bad spot. Like, it wasn't like a bad spot, but like so much that happened to me, and like street ain't really want to be around me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jeezy ain't want me in a video. Like, it was like a rule. Like, I can't be in no shots with Jeezy.
Well, Charlamagne spoke to Jeezy also, and here's how Jeezy responded when he says that artists said that he would not put them on.
Well, one of the critiques was Jeezy has never put anybody on musically.
I've tried to put people on, but everybody was a part of my first project. They own. You know, Drama, he might beg to differ, but that Gangsta Grills wasn't in the hood like that until Young was on that thing. Trap or Die
I would agree.
Right, but he probably say something different, but I know better, because nobody else got their mixtape played in the club for 5 or 6 hours straight, word for word, with the DJ drops. He knows that.
Yeah, me and Jeezy got a conversation dropping today called 2020 Hindsight. It'll be out at 12:20 p.m.
on YouTube. But I can, Youngberg got to understand that though. When Youngberg was going through whatever he was going through, and when people was treating him like the hip hop pinata, and he was getting his chain snatched and all, yeah, I can see why certain artists wouldn't want to work with him.
Yeah, it was a lot of F-boy-ish, and I think he even knows that. But you know, it is what it is. He bounced back.
And that's when back in the day when people cared about their reputations, their street reputations, mm-hmm. you know. Because nowadays, if you got a hit, you got a hit. Plus, he wasn't making beats back then either. Now, was he?
I don't think so.
I don't remember him making beats. He was still an artist.
He was more of an artist. He was Youngberg. Now he's Hitmaker, the producer.
Yeah, I'll take a beat from Hitmaker, but I don't want no verse from Youngberg.
Other things that are dropping today: The Weeknd has a new project. Mac Miller, Sada Baby. Yeah, there's a lot of new music, and I guess we're home, so we're able to listen to whatever we need to listen to. Shout out to everybody that has new music coming out. Also, just pointing out, this weekend on Saturday, season 7 of BET Being is starting, and I'm kicking off the new season, Being Angela Yee, so you can check me out. I think that comes on at 10 p.m. Eastern, BET Her, so I'll be featured on BET Being. You get to see what a day is like in my life, and it was pretty cool. So thank you to everybody at BET for including me. And we're kicking off season 7 on Saturday. All right, I'm Angela Yee.
I want to watch I want to watch the Madam C.J. Walker story on Netflix this weekend, too. I think that's a good thing, especially if you got, you know, young daughters. Sit them around and get them to know the history of Madam C.J. Walker.
Man, right, I kept thinking that it was out already. So last week I was watching on Netflix, and I'm like, where is it? Where is it? But it wasn't out yet. But I will definitely be watching that this weekend. Can't wait.
All right, mm-hmm. The People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, it's Women's History Month, and who we repping today, Yee?
Well, today we are representing for Simone Biles. She is the gymnast with the most world medals. That's 25. The most world gold medals. That's 19. And she is the female gymnast with the most world all-around titles. So congratulations to her. She is such an inspiration for so many people. And here she is on CBS News talking about her motivation. And this is all right after she won the 2016 Rio Olympics, 5 Olympic medals that year and 4 gold ones. Who won the
world? It's Women's History Month, and we're celebrating the most influential women in history. Check out this phenomenal woman.
But I was thinking about your performances and how you are probably what many other athletes are hoping to become like. You're their goal. Yes. You're their motivation. Will I be able to pull off a Biles? Will I be able to create a move that someone names after me? Can you tell us like a little bit more about that move and where it even came from, how you invented it?
Okay, so a little while ago, or like 3 years ago, whenever I was making this skill up, I was doing the first pass in my routine. If you look back at the video, I was trying that skill one day and I landed a little bit short, so I partially tore my calf muscle. And my coach said, well, if you just do a half twist, no one's ever done that before, so you could potentially get it named after you if you ever make a world's team. And it'll also take the strain off of your calves because it's a forward landing. So then I just started playing around with that in the gym, and that's how it came about.
And that was another phenomenal woman in history.
Yes, congratulations to Simone Biles. We are celebrating her during Women's History Month. She is the person who many people refer to as the greatest gymnast ever.
All right. All right. When we come back, we got your positive notes. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Shout out to Andrew Yang for joining us this morning as well.
That's right. Huge announcement that Andrew Yang made this morning, giving away $1 million to the people of New York City. Go to the website movehumanityforward.com and you can put your name in and you know, try to get some of the money. Or if you want to donate like I did, you can donate, because the money is definitely going to a good cause, going to everybody who's going to be out of work during this coronavirus global pandemic. So salute to Andrew Yang. And I hope he runs for mayor in New York.
I hope so too. All right, well, shout to Andrew Yang for joining us again. Now, you got a positive note?
Yes, man. As a Cancer, a homebody, I know that having plans sounds like a good idea until you have to put your clothes on and leave the house. And to me, happiness has always been staying at home. So this weekend, and for as long as we have to, let's stay our asses at home. Okay, let's flatten this goddamn curve so we can get this money circulating back into this economy. Okay? The whole gang inside with it. Have a good weekend.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?